Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
I am pretty stirred up this morning with regard to what God is doing here in this fellowship and what he's doing pretty much in the region. I think the Lord is awakening our hearts. And some of us have walked with him for years and years and years, and he's awakening our hearts to hear from him in new ways and to experience him in fresh ways. I can tell you, and I know I've mentioned this before, that I've experienced Jesus over the last 9 months or so in ways that I've not experienced him before. And it's so impactful that, you know, I get excited about it because I know that it's kind of like a time release capsule. Actually, I think of it more in terms of some of you, maybe you have a wine cellar and you have some in reserve. And there's a date that you wouldn't open that bottle until that particular date because you know that's in reserve. And it's going to be its fullest body and its fullest expression of what it was intended at that particular date. And I think the same happens with us in the Holy Spirit. I think there are things that God deposits within us from day one. And those things remain with us, and we begin to discover new things about who God is, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in his time and as he releases those things to us. And so that's just good times. It's a party when that happens. All right, so we can celebrate all of that. It's so good. I want to pray. I want to ask the Lord to grace us with our time of teaching here. So, Father, thank you so much that you have given to us your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Word, and you became flesh, and you dwelt among us. And then you gave us the promised Holy Spirit, who was going to speak and remind us of the things that you've taught us, and you were going to lead us to truth. And so, Spirit of Truth, we welcome you to come and to anoint this time, anoint not only the words, but also our hearts to receive what it is you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. Well, I want to reference the past month or so. I know that some of you have been tracking with us. You've been either here or you've been listening to the podcast. And you know that we've been talking about hearing the voice of God on behalf of another person. And it's you know, what we would refer to in the scriptures, prophecy. And I love how Jesus speaks of people when he walked the earth like John the Baptist, who was identified as the greatest Old Testament prophet who ever lived. And it said that he was the greatest man ever born of a woman. And then it goes on to say that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit to function in the power and the anointing of Elijah. Which, if we remember our stories of scripture from the Old Testament, Elijah was quite a prophet. In fact, he's identified as one of the premier voices for God in the history of the Old Testament. One of many, because he was part of a school of prophets that Samuel had established. Samuel was the headmaster over. And the people who were raised up in the school of the prophets would receive then an anointing that would be passed down from generation to generation. It was a mantle that would be extended down through the generations. And so the recipients of the mantle, as it were known as the sons of the prophets. And so Jesus tells us that there will come before the great and terrible day of the Lord, Elijah, once again. Now, he said this after John the Baptist had already been identified as functioning under the power and the anointing of Elijah. And then John the Baptist met his demise. He was beheaded. And then Jesus, after John the Baptist was beheaded, said that the Spirit and the power of Elijah will come to restore all things. And this can be puzzling for us, but Peter helps us out in Acts 3 when he identifies who the new successors of this prophetic anointing were. When he says that it's you, the church. This is Acts 3, 24 and 25, if you're taking notes. It's you, the body of Christ, who are the sons of the prophets. And God made this known to our forefathers. And so we are actually the recipients of that prophetic anointing. In fact, when the second chapter of Acts occurred, which will actually be happening next week, if you were to track the calendar timeline of Passover and then the 50 days to Pentecost, that's happening next Sunday. it was identified then that when the Spirit of the Sovereign God rested on all of the disciples and the apostles at that time, that it was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel that, you know, the Holy Spirit's come and you're going to prophesy. You're going to have dreams. You're going to see visions. You're going to experience things that are supernatural, above and beyond the natural realm. And so God has anointed a prophetic community of quote unquote Elijahs. And we're granted this prophetic mantle. And it's really in order to complete God's mandate to make ready a people for the coming of the Lord. Because that was John the Baptist's mandate, wasn't it? To make ready a people for the coming of the Lord. And so we get to do that for our community. We get to do that for our friends. We get to help them prepare. In fact, as I was worshiping, the Lord gave me a word for you, Veronica. And it was really pretty simple what he shared with me. He said that you're a bridge builder, and that in my understanding, it was as though he was saying that you have the grace gift of the evangelist. So you have a capacity just by being who you are naturally to build a bridge for people that they can connect with Jesus. And so you're an amazing bridge builder for Jesus. And I just wanted to affirm you in that. And that's something that the Lord has shown me about you. And it's a beautiful gift that you are not only to this fellowship, but to the city. And so you're helping make ready or make a way for people to cross into that relational sphere with Jesus. So it's really amazing stuff. And so we explored what it means to receive insight on behalf of another. And we talked a little bit about all of that over the last several weeks. And we also talked about why it's important. And I think one of the reasons we really came to terms with is the creative power of God to speak out about a thing before it comes into existence. That's his way. God always speaks about a thing before he allows it to come into existence on planet Earth. He did that from day one in the beginning. You know, he created the heavens and the earth, and he said, he spoke the words, and he's doing that for us here and now. And so for us, as sons in the house of the Father, you know, we have a birthright not only to hear from the Father, but we have the birthright to exercise our image-bearing authority to speak out a thing before it comes into existence. And that has impact not only in our personal lives, not only in our family, but also in this community. And I believe honestly that this is part of the restoration of all things, that our relationship with the Creator, it invites us to be his ambassadors, right? I mean, that's really what we're called to be. And so we speak the heart and the mind of Jesus, the will of the King, into our sphere. We talked about several things that when, you know, sometimes when we're receiving prayer, we have a blend of things that are happening. And sometimes when we're offering prayer to other people, we're not only giving prophetic words to them, but a lot of times what we're doing is we're giving words of knowledge. We're talking about the things that are existing in their life now, current conditions, stuff that they can relate to that only God knows. And then he begins to speak into that because he wants to do something there. He wants to, whether it's a physical condition, he wants to bring healing, or an emotional or relational thing that's happening. He wants to give insight. He doesn't want us to just read each other's mail for the sake of, you know, reading each other's mail. I mean, this sort of gifting, this type of discernment, and this gift mix, it was never intended for judgment. I mean, it was always intended for intercession. It was always intended to be an encouragement and a strength to other people. And so we have then this discerning of spirits, which also happens whenever we're praying with people. Again, I'm referencing things that were referred to over this last month. If you want scripture references on all this stuff, I just encourage you to listen to the podcast. But discernment of spirits isn't just about good and evil spirits. It's not just about holy and foul spirits. Every human being was created with a human spirit. And one of the things that God does for us is he gives us insight into who he created. When we're looking at somebody, we might see them a certain way. We might experience them through the filter of their soul and how they express themselves, whether that's like positive or negative. I mean, sometimes whenever we're working with some folks and just in relationship with people, it can be kind of a challenge, right? I mean, it can be hard. And we just need that discernment. God, who is this person, really? What are your dreams over this person? How did you design this person? Hey, when we start to see people through that lens, then it changes everything. And it changes the way that we can not only relate to them, but how we can encourage them and strengthen them. And then the prophetic point of it is really, and this is something that we referenced out of the book of John, the Holy Spirit will tell us the future. And that's kind of like fun and exciting, but it relates to that piece about God always speaking something before it comes into existence. Sometimes what we need in our lives are people, friends. We just need people that come around us and say, I believe God wants to do this in your life. I believe God is stirring me to share with you some thoughts here. I want to lay them at your feet, receive them, put them in your heart, test them, weigh them, see if it lines up not only with Scripture, but with the larger narrative, the story of what God is doing in your life. And we get to be that voice to help initiate something in someone's imagination and in someone's hope that might turn the trajectory towards something that God has intended for them all along. And we get to be that voice of encouragement for them. So all of these things are really important for us. We talked about what to do when you're on the receiving end. You know, like I just mentioned, you test all things. You hold on to that which is good. You don't scoff at prophecies. You don't stifle the Holy Spirit in that. We looked at that in Scripture. We receive the prophetic move of God in our lives. And in so doing, we receive the reward. And the reward is the will of Jesus being realized in our lives. That's the reward. When we come into agreement with what God is doing and we say yes to it, then my goodness, that's a reward because we get to live in the abundant life that Jesus has come to offer us. So, okay, let's do this now. Let's fine-tune our ears to hear what God is saying a little bit tighter. Remember I talked about how the radio dial, okay, it all is the same. You know, you got the dial, you got the speaker, you got the wall outlet, you're plugging it all in, and sometimes all we feel like we're hearing is the scratchy AM radio station. And it's a matter of shifting over into having ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, so that the FM, you know, the stereo, full sound, starts to really ring in our spirits. And then we can dial that in. We can practice listening. We can fine-tune our ability to hear what the Lord is saying. And so let's do that a little bit here this morning. So if you would, turn to Matthew 13. Thanks for letting me just kind of roll up on that review there for us, get us all on the same page a little bit. Matthew 13, verse 2, Jesus got into a boat and he sat out there and he taught the people as they listened to him on the shore. He told them many stories, such as this one. A farmer went out to plant some seed, and as he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on the footpath and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The plants sprang up quickly, but they soon wilted beneath the hot sun and dried because the roots had no nourishment in the shallow soil. Other seeds fell among the thorns and they shot up, but they were choked out. And then there were seeds that fell on the fertile soil and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as it had been planted. And so anyone who is willing to hear should listen and understand. And then his disciples came back around to him and they said, why do you tell these stories to these people? I remember last week we talked about this dynamic of his followers who have open hearts to hear. They're going to be given understanding and wisdom and so forth. But then he comes back around and he explains it. He gives an interpretation. And I love this about Jesus. First of all, let me pause here and say this, that Jesus still speaks in parables. He still speaks to us in mysterious ways. That's a lot of what our dreams are sometimes, right? But it's also in the waking hours. You know, sometimes we don't fully understand what God is doing, what he's saying. We don't quite get it. And so it really behooves us to follow the example of the disciples here. They went around and they asked, what are you really saying here? What do you mean? Can you give us some interpretation? Why are you telling us these things in kind of some mysterious ways? Look, Jesus can handle that. And it's not like you're just challenging him. I think what it really boils down to is walking in more intimate relationship with him, having a conversation with him. And so in verse 18, we'll pick it up there. Now, here's the explanation of the story I told about the farmer sowing the seed. The seed that fell on the hard path represents those who hear the good news about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches the seed away from their heart. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. At first, they're getting along just fine. But they wilt as soon as they have problems or persecution about what they have believed. Verse 22, the thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the good news, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares of this world and the lure of wealth, so no crop is produced. The good soil represents the hearts of those who truly accept God's message and produce a large harvest, 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Okay, let's pause there. And before we get into that passage, I want to ask you to recall when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And when he was tempted to turn stones into bread, what was his reply? It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. So I think it's important for us to really have that locked in as the backdrop of the interpretation of what's going on in this parable as it relates to you and I hearing the voice of the Father. Because this really is about hearing the voice of the Father. This is not about evangelism. Most of the people in this parable received the word, even with joy. But then it was either snatched or choked. And there were some who received the word and it took root and it bore fruit that remained. So this is about believers having the capacity to not only hear the word of the Father, but receive the word of the Father in such a way that it produces life. Jesus says, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. So hearing the voice of the Father is paramount to our living the abundant life that Jesus has come to give us. And so we'll look at this. When we look at the word for word, the meaning is rhema. And I'm going to read this definition of the word rhema. That which is or has been uttered by the living voice. Wow, I love that. That which is or has been uttered by the living voice. It goes back to that concept that there are things that have been uttered by the living voice that don't exist yet, but everything that is from God was spoken of by God first. And so his rhema word goes forth, and it says here in this definition, any sound produced by the voice and having a definite meaning, a declaration of one's mind made in words. A declaration of one's mind made in words. A thing spoken as a matter of narrative, a matter of command, a matter of dispute, a case of law. Isn't that interesting? How when Jesus speaks a word like any king, all right, in any monarchy, when a king speaks, his word becomes law. And so when Jesus is speaking, when the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is speaking, and it could be through the Holy Spirit in our lives speaking on behalf of another, or we receiving this through the scripture or through other ways that God speaks to us, you want to know that God is really serious about what he's saying. You want to take this and you want it to have the impact that's intended. And so Jesus tells us that we find our existence in the spoken word, the narrative of God. And as the king of the universe, his words spoken out are in effect law. That means it's going to happen if we come into agreement with it. Here's the deal. Just because a law is proclaimed does not mean it's followed, right? There's plenty of rebellion going on. I mean, just think about the children of Israel. I mentioned this before. There was a prophetic word given to them that they would cross over into the promised land, but not everyone who heard that prophetic word crossed over. What I do love about the redemptive work of Jesus, however, is this. Even though only two families from that original generation and then the rest of the descendants crossed over into the promised land, Moses remained on the other side. You remember this, right? And just as a side note, who was standing with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses. So even though he physically did not see the fulfillment of that prophetic word in his lifetime on planet Earth, he stood on the promised land with Jesus. So there's a redemptive work. So we're not going to get caught up in shame or fear here. We're going to let the work of Jesus be the work of Jesus. And we're going to endeavor to the best of our ability to come into agreement with the work of Jesus. Say yes to the work of Jesus. Let belief rise up within our hearts. Let us walk by faith and not by sight. Let fear fall away as his love fills our lives. And that is the work of Jesus in our lives. We don't have to get too tied up in, you know, all of the interpretations and how do we apply the words that are coming to us through the prophetic ministry. We can trust and rest in the goodness of Jesus to bring the fulfillment as we walk in intimate relationship with him, listening, walking in step with him, having fun with him. I mean, really, it's just about relationship, isn't it? So here are some things that can silence our ability to perceive and agree with the voice. There's three things I want to talk about coming out of Matthew 13. Now, remember that the seed is all about the word. And the word, again, is the expression of a thought, a saying, a preeminent. And really, in Scripture, the preeminent use is the use of Jesus Christ being the word. And so that's a fascinating connection there that we can have. We can imagine then that our ability to hear is going to have a full-on resistance from the enemy of our soul. I mean, even in the parable, I mean, there were thorns that were choking things out. There were birds that were snatching things up, right? I mean, there is an enemy that wants to rob you of all of this goodness that God wants to be speaking. And so we have to be aware of this. And so we can look at three conditions of the heart that can hinder our ability to hear. And the first one comes out of verse 19 here in Matthew 13. The seed that fell on the hard path represents those who hear the good news of the kingdom and they don't understand it. And so the evil one comes and snatches the seed away from their heart. I believe that we struggle to understand what God is saying because of our affinity to the trodden path. I want you to imagine that if you have an allegiance to cultural norms and to the way of the status quo, more than perhaps hearing the voice of God and walking in obedience to his voice, then you're going to suffer in your ability to hear and understand what God is saying. The trodden path, I kind of was looking at this going, a lot of people walk on that path. It fell, the seeds fell on that trodden path. If this is my orientation to listen to the opinions of those who walk the trodden path more than the voice of the Father, then of course, whatever God is going to be saying to me is likely going to get snatched up and out. I'm not going to give it the weight that's due. I'm not going to take it seriously. I'm going to kind of blow it off, actually. And so what happens to those seeds? They get snatched up by the evil one. And so we have to remember that while we are in this world and while we love the people in this world, we are not of this world. We are not of this world. And so the prince of the power of the air is the king of this world, and his name is Satan, right? And he is going to snatch whatever he can out of your life. And so if we make the trodden path our home, then we're subject to the enemy of our soul who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You guys getting the picture here? Sometimes he comes to steal, kill, and destroy by blunt force trauma. But oftentimes it's through the omission of the word in our lives. We get robbed just because we're not paying attention, because the word brings so much life to us. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word. So you get it. The second point here is found in verse 20. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but like the young plants in such soil, their roots don't go down very deep. And at first they're going along fine, but then they wilt as soon as they have problems or persecution because they believe the word. So if the soil is all about the heart, then we can imagine that the stony ground has to do with our hearts. And we might immediately, I mean, I have echoes of sermon after sermon about this parable over the years when I was a kid. And the stony heart was all about the hardness of my heart. Almost like hard-hearted, like a rebellion, like a gangster sort of hard heart, you know? You know what I'm saying? Oh, by the way, if you ever get attacked by a gang of clowns, always go for the juggler. Sorry. So we're not talking about gangster hearts. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. It's getting way too serious, people. I have it in my thoughts that the hardness here refers to a guardedness that comes from the result of hardship. If you look at the context of this, the word gets snatched when hardship arises. When there's some form of persecution or some form of hardship, whenever things start getting a little rough. And so what I imagine then is that the hardness refers actually to a guardedness that comes as the result of hardship, trauma, rejection. I mean, who's persecuting who? I mean, people are persecuting people. So there's a rejection that happens amongst people when persecution arises. And I think that one of the things that we do then as a coping mechanism is we shield our hearts. And I think that this has some content for us. The word here for stones is Petra. And you remember this. I mean, that's what Jesus called Peter. And he says, on this rock I will build my church. He's talking about foundations. The foundations in our hearts. And when our foundational belief is that God and the effects of his word, listen to this. If our foundational belief is that God and the effects of his word in our life will cause pain, then we will recoil from him. God is wanting to awaken our hearts to hear him because we live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. And yet we find ourselves in this place where it's not just about blatant rebellion. It tends to be a little bit more about not trusting God to heal our broken places. And in this, my friends, we shield our hearts from the word of truth. And so remember, we find our lives really in the words that God speaks. And so allow him to draw near and to speak. Speak to those places over your heart that have recoiled. If we want to fine tune our ability to hear the voice of God, then we have to go here. And sometimes what we have to do, and this is just a thought that's coming to me, is we have to reconcile the fact that we have actually held a grudge and an offense against God himself. Let's do that amazing work of forgiving God. Now you might think, why would I need to do that? Well, it's because if you hold that offense against him, then you think that he's taken something from you and he's done you wrong. And so this is a trust issue, isn't it? Suffice it to say that at the core of our hearts, we're faced with a decision to rely on the goodness of God or not. And the more we rely on the goodness of God and begin to trust him, even with those broken places of our heart, we begin to hear more clearly. Our security is found in whether we believe the Father will take care of us or not. And striving to protect ourselves, it really will consume our bandwidth. And so there's little room for the conversational voice of the Father when the majority of our thoughts involve some form of worry. You know, and I think I'm kind of getting into the third one here, which has to do with verse 22. And so these kind of blend together, and this thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the good news, and it too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares of this world and even the lure of wealth, and so no crop is produced. So like I said, you know, we have this decision that we have to make about our decision to really rely on the goodness of the Father or not. Where's our security found? Do we believe that it's God who's going to take care of us or not? And when we do try to provide for ourselves, it really does consume so much of our bandwidth. And what takes hold then is, instead of the voice of the Father speaking truth and encouragement and life to us, the voice of worry replaces that. And we're always trying to work the Rubik's Cube on how we're going to make this happen. And so that, again, it gobbles up so much of our heart space to be hearing. So then the question was, do we have a hard time hearing God speak? You know, and we want to fine tune it. If we're having a hard time hearing the Father speak, then without any hint of shame, there's no shame on this, what I'm about to say. And it's only an invitation into an upgrade. We have to ask ourselves these really hard questions. Are we most likely traveling on the hard path? You know, how influenced are the norms of the world to us? I mean, how influenced are we? We have to ask that kind of question. The next question that we have to ask is our heart guarded? Do we trust the Father with our brokenness? And then the third question is, has worry revved up our internal motor so much that we have difficulty tuning our spiritual intuition to hear what God is saying? And so what's really important is that we remember that God cares for you, and not just cares about you, but he actually cares for you. And this is all about the kingdom message, isn't it? I mean, the word of the good news was the good news of the kingdom, right? And what did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom and all of these things will be added to you. So it's just really about settling into our identity as sons and daughters, knowing that Jesus is really in control and that he loves us. And yes, there will be hardships that will come. He didn't say that the persecutions wouldn't come. He didn't say that the hardships wouldn't be there. He's just saying, as you're walking through those, what is the response of your heart towards the Father? And so we get to allow the love of God to transform the condition of our heart. And it will enhance our ability to hear from him. We'll be able to understand and receive the words of life. We'll be able to apply them. We'll be able to let the word that God is speaking to us really transform us and change the way that we live our lives. But it's not coming from behavior modification. It's coming from the deep work of his word taking root and bearing much fruit. That's good news, isn't it? You guys behind me on this? Because it's really important for us to be like, yeah, I want to hear the voice of the Father. It's really important for us. And not only on behalf of someone else, we've been tracking on that whole prophetic line for some time, but equally, if not more important, actually, I would say it is more important for us to be hearing the voice of the Father for our own lives. Another thought I had about the path, the trodden path was, and that's the main highway, right? That's where people are walking. How many of us spend so much time surrounded by other people that we just don't slip away into times of silence and solitude to hear? That's going to be my encouragement now, because there is good soil, right? There is good soil in our hearts that is just waiting for the words to take root and to bear much fruit. I know every single one of you, if I were to ask the question, how many of you want to be fruitful in your life? Every single one of you would raise your hands. We have this encouragement then from Jesus himself. Listen. Listen with your heart. Walk in intimate conversational relationship with God. His voice brings all sorts of goodness to us. And in that, you'll be fruitful. I want to thank the Father for sharing that with us this morning. I know there were some challenges in that. And I want to allow the love of the Father to rest on your heart now. And let him speak to you about his intentions for you. You know, it was said of John the Baptist that he was the greatest. And yet, Jesus, right after that, says, And the least in my kingdom is greater than he. I just feel nudged to say this. It's important for somebody to hear this, that it is okay to aspire to greatness in the kingdom of God. Jesus says this right after he mediates an argument between two of his disciples who wanted to sit at his right hand. They even got their mom involved in that one. He says, if you're going to be great, then you're going to serve. And you're going to be a truth talker. So it's okay to be great in the kingdom of God. Just remember that it's about servanthood. And one of the ways that we get to serve is we get to hear the voice of the Father on behalf of another. So Father, thank you so much for your words of life to us here this morning. Thank you for sustaining us here today. Father, I want to thank you that you're going to speak. And so I just want to bless each one of you with ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. I want to bless your hearts to be receptive. I want to bless your hearts to be in the good place of receiving the words of the Father that would bear fruit in your lives. Can you receive that? I just want you to just receive that. I don't know what it means for you. Somebody might want to take their hands and just put it right in their heart like you're just receiving that. That's a blessing from the Lord. Listen, I want to bless you right now with the ability to hear from the Father in Jesus' name. I want to bless you to be walking in new measures of wholeness, not for the sake of wholeness itself, but for the sake of not being guarded, you know, and for the sake of trusting the Father. So I bless you in that journey of healing and wholeness with Jesus. I bless you to know God as your provider, that his provision would silence the worry in your life, that the anxiety that stirs in you and that gets triggered constantly because of this perceived lack that you have. I just want to lift your chin, just lift your eyes a little bit and understand that the Father knows you. He knows what you need. He's calling you to himself. He's not going to enable you to live a life that's separate from him. So come, draw near to him, hear from him, trust him. Walk in obedience with him, with your money, with your resources. I want to bless you in that. So, Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time of worship. Thank you for the time that we get to see each other, get to celebrate the graduates, get to be reminded that you have made us to hear from you and you have made us to be fruitful. So speak to us, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.